Well, good morning to you all. It's good to be here with you all in the house of worship once again. God's blessing on each one of you. It's a real inspiring time for me thus far. I trust it has been for you as well. Really enjoyed looking at a positive account there in our Sunday school lesson there in the adult class. We've had some negative lessons, and it was really good to see a positive example for us in that of Caleb. And he had a vision, and it's a challenge to me to be a man, be a person of vision. Sometimes I'm not very good at being a visionary, I feel. I can get stuck in just the routine stuff of life and don't look too far ahead. But with God's help, I trust we can all strive to be a person of vision. Also, the devotional thoughts of Brian. I really liked that the mental picture I got of a field that's, you know, to me, it speaks of each one of us before Christ. The field is just not worth a whole lot at all. It's just wet and just bad. Not good field. But when God works in us, puts the missing pieces to our puzzle, we can be a fruitful field for Him. Really like that thought. Well, for a message this morning, I'd like to think about where we are in the year. Think about the new year a little bit. We already talked about things pertaining to the old and the new year, and so here we are, the end of this year, 2025. And God has blessed us with the gift of time here again today. Here we are. And if He wills to keep giving us time, this week will come to a new year. So I was thinking about that, and you know, I don't think I've ever spent a lot of brain power on making New Year's resolutions or, you know, only to break them soon, like we know that that's how most of those resolutions go, right? Is that what they say? The majority of those are not kept. Or I don't think I've made it a regular habit to stay up late and see out the old year and watch the new year come in or shoot it. Yeah, whatever they do, shoot the old one out and see the new one in. Some of those things, I think I have stayed up to see that a couple of times, but I didn't have much to see, so I don't regularly do that. But I do enjoy getting to a new year. There's something fresh about that, something enjoyable about that. I don't know if I can explain all what that is. You know, there's something nice about writing, if you have to write dates down regularly, you know, you write 1-1 of whatever year, 1-2, 1-3, there's something just, it's fresh about that, and I think it's more than just that it's not as many digits as the month before. But you know, soon the newness of the new year, it seems, wears off, and you know, the new year, the time of the new year just seems a lot like the previous. At least that's how it is for me. I'm not sure what all your thoughts are when you think of a new year. We all wish, we all hope the new year is a good year. Maybe we talk about that. Maybe we say Happy New Year to people. People say it to us. People say it to each other. And maybe they are partly meaning the holiday, New Year's Day holiday, or probably part of it is wishing a good year for the other person, a good coming year. Maybe you have a lot of things you're looking forward to in a new year. Maybe you have big plans in a new year. Maybe you plan to get married. I don't know if that pertains to anyone here or not. I wasn't sure as I thought of that. Or maybe you plan to start a new business, new enterprise. Or you have other big plans for a year. Maybe it's a new baby in your family, like some of us. Things we look forward to. Maybe you have other ambitions of work or things you want to do with your family this coming year. Maybe you want to spend some spend time together as a family. Maybe you enjoy gardening together or fishing or hunting or whatever it is that you enjoy, going trips and so on. You enjoy things together as a family. We have some of those goals, don't we? As we think of a new year, if God wills. And hopefully we have many spiritual, you know, ambitions as well, as doing better at serving Christ and being a testimony and a witness and so on. As much we could talk of for about that. But maybe when you think of a new year, you have a little bit of, trepidation maybe. You maybe have a little fear in your mind about what all could happen in a coming year. You know, most of us have been around for a little bit. We know that many things can and do happen in a year's time, and many things that we did not know would happen or did not know could happen. And so hence we have a little bit of reservation, a little bit of fear maybe in our mind about what a new year could bring. Maybe your thoughts are mostly on the past year and how it's been for you. Hopefully you have some good thoughts as you reflect on the past year. I think we really should as Christians, even if we have had some bad times or overall there's been lots of mostly struggle in the year. I think we as Christians should be able to reflect, look back and say, you know, God has been good. God has been there, you know, even if there's been a lot of hard times in the past year. And we see God work in our life through the past year. And hopefully you can say, like Psalm 65:11 says it, that thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Hopefully that can be your testimony of as you look back on the past year. And probably if you're like me anyway, you can think about the things in the year that did not go like you planned, things that you should have done better, or different opportunities you missed. You can think about the big long list of things that, well, I was going to do that, but I never got to that. Seems like for me anyway, there's always quite a few on that list of things that I hoped to do, but it didn't get done. Okay, there's a lot of different directions we can go as we think about a new year, thoughts that we could have for the topic this morning. The title I've chosen is Trusting God in the New Year. Trusting God in the New Year. Now, I don't know if you're much into making New Year's resolutions or not, but this is a resolution that I believe you and I should have as we think of stepping into a new year, that I am going to trust God this year, that whatever comes in this year is what God would have for my life. That's what He has decided for me, and that I am going to trust Him in that. I'm going to be okay with that, His plan, and trust that it's what He wants for me. It's His will for my life. Be a resolution for the new year. Trusting God in the new year. There's a lot of verses that might come to your mind as you think of where to go for a topic like that. And trusting God in the new year. I decided to turn to Matthew 6. A couple of verses here. And most of you at home here know I've been working on looking at some of these verses in the Sermon on the Mount. And so it's a little look here at this cluster of verses in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, it's verse 25 to 34 is the cluster I'd like to look at this morning, and the heading my Bible has is Teachings on Worry. Okay, and we see here in these verses Jesus calling us not to fret, not to worry about things that we as people, we fret and we worry about. We're not to do that, but we're to trust in God's care instead. Very familiar verses, but let's read them. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We see here Jesus calling us to not worry about the everyday things that people stress and worry about. At least that's how I would read this here. And maybe you think, well, I never stressed about some of these things, what I'm going to eat and what I'm going to drink. We don't have that problem here in America. I think we should remember that most of who Jesus was talking to were very poor people, I believe. And this thing of daily food and good drinking water and clothing, those were things that were not as abundant, I believe, as here in America. And I think some of those things were a real problem for them that we hardly know anything about. These things that Jesus talks about, they're what we would consider some of the basics, aren't they? Basics for life: food, water, clothing. And as I thought about that, you know, how much less are some of the worries that many of us Americans are plagued with, that we have most everything. We have all these needs met. Don't they really pale in comparison to some of these things? But he still says, take no thought about those things of tomorrow, because God knows, and he'll take care of you. I don't think he is advocating not planning ahead, not reaping and gathering. He calls us to consider the fowls of the air. To look at them, to learn from that. God meets their needs. They don't do those things like we do. He says, take no thought. Don't be worried about those things, because God knows and he'll take care of you. You know, the word trust isn't in here. I used the word trust in my title there. Trusting God in the new year. The word trust isn't here at all, but I believe it's here very strongly in thought. We're to trust God's care instead of worrying about those things. And so this morning, I want to emphasize that thought of God's care in this message of calling us to trust God in the new year and whatever it holds for us. I want to emphasize that thought of God's care for you and for me. And I really struggled with whether I have the right title here for this message. First Peter 5, verse 7, we won't need a turn there. It's a familiar verse. I would say it pretty much sums up the thoughts of these verses here in Matthew 6. Familiar verse. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We're to throw our cares, our worries on the Lord. Why? Because he cares for us. He cares for you. He cares for me. And I want you to remember that. In this message of trust this morning, trusting God, if you forget about everything else that I say, I want you to remember that fact, that God cares for you. God cares for us as His people. He cares for you and He cares for me. Why is that important? Why do I want to emphasize that this morning? Because I believe whether or not you see God as a God that cares for you, that is going to say whether or not you will put your trust in that God. That's just how it works. Do you see God as being a God, being one who loves you and cares for you this morning and wants to help you? Or do you see God as, as carrying a big stick. I think of, was it President Roosevelt? One of his sayings, I think it was him, he was known for, speak softly and carry a big stick. Something like that. Do you see God as that kind of a person, carrying a big stick? And when you do something amiss, He's there to smash you with that big stick. Is that how you see God? That's not the God that I know. God is not like that. That policy might work of carrying a big stick, might work in civil governments. I'm sure it probably does in that. But that is not how God deals with you and with me. He careth for you, it says. And I like to look at a couple of verses that reinforce that this morning, of God being a caring God. There's a lot of verses we think of. There's a couple of verses in Isaiah 41 I want to look at. You can turn there, Isaiah 41. There's some verses here. You've maybe heard me read these or comment on these before. I like these verses. I like some of the picture I get from some of these verses. We're not going to comment on all that we read here, but Isaiah 41, 8, starting at verse 8, let's read a couple of these. God's talking here. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not. Think about God as a caring God here. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. Here again, these verses. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Doesn't that just warm your heart as you think of that word picture there? God reaching down, just like a dad, you know, reaches down to his child and says, you don't need to be afraid. I'm here. I'm going to help you. I'm going to hold your hand. We're going to walk through this. It sounds like a kind, caring Father God to me. And let's read on here, verse 14 yet. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. We'll stop reading there. It's kind of an interesting word picture you get in that verse 14. I don't know what comes to your mind. I think of a person looking at a worm. Doesn't sound very respectable, does it, to call someone a worm? I've never tried that, I don't think. But that's the picture that he gives. That's what he calls His people here, His people Israel, a worm. A worm's not very special. We probably wouldn't waste a lot of energy on a worm. Yeah, sure, maybe we'll do something to, you know, make the soil friendly for earthworms in a whole field. Sure, we can, you know, get our minds around that. But one worm, take time for you know, to help a worm. But that's the picture we get here of God, a caring God. God saying to these people as a worm, don't be afraid, I'll help you. Well, that's our God this morning. He is a caring God. He cares about you and he cares about me. Unlovely old worms that we are. And he holds out salvation to ugly old worms like you and I. And he wants to help them. And he wants to call them his children. That's our God, a God that cares about us. Yes, and he does send correction at times. He does send hard things in our experience. Maybe it does feel like you got hit with a big stick. And I don't feel like we can explain those things many times. To try to make sense out of some of the things God sends our way. The how and the whys and so on, and what God does. But we know through it all, I think we can know that God does, what God sends, He has sent with our good in mind, with my good in mind and yours. And God still cares about us in those things. Maybe it is correction that he sent in my life. He cares. And he hurts when we hurt as well. And he wants us to turn to him. He wants us to use those hard things to turn to him. Psalm 103, 13 and 14, I have it written down here. It's another of my favorites. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. He remembers what we're made of. Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. You see, we don't need to bear those burdens of those things, of all those things that worry us, because God wants us to cast them on him, he says. God wants us to throw them over on him. He wants to carry those things for us, wants to bear those heavy things for us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We have that verse. Take my yoke upon you, and so on. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Trusting God in the new year. It's important that we know God as a caring God. As a caring God. It's also important. I don't feel my thoughts are very well organized as far as you taking notes this morning. It's also important that we know God. Simply know God. Personally, know God. That's just how it is. We trust people we know. And people that we know they're trustworthy. If they are or not. And you know, that's something I think we don't think about as often as we should, or we take it for granted. The blessing it is to be part of a brotherhood, a church family, to have people that we trust. Because it doesn't take long. You get out in the world, you get around, you find out there is many people that trust. It seems like they don't trust anyone. They're suspicious of everyone. Everyone's out to get them. Everyone's out to rip them off. Everyone's out to pull the wool over their eyes, take advantage of them, and so on. They don't have anyone they trust, it seems. And even their closest family, their spouse maybe, they're suspicious of them. They might be cheating. They might not be true to me. I don't know. I don't know if I can trust them. It's a terrible life. It's a terrible life. And I don't think we know, I don't think we think of it as often as we should, how good we have it to have individual brothers and sisters that we trust. A whole brotherhood that we trust. Beyond the whole brotherhood, people that we trust and know to be there for us. We trust people we know. And I know Nevin, and I know Ed, and I know Clint, and I trust them. Because I know them. But you know, if someone else comes, I don't know. I'm not sure if I can trust them. But now if Nevin or Clint or Ed, if they know that person that came, they say, yeah, they're a good brother. They're trustworthy. You'll be fine to trust in them. Now I have a leg to stand on. Maybe I don't know them, but I trust my brothers. My point is that we have a God that we can and we should personally know. And it's important that we do know and that we do trust Him. God is trustworthy. Do you know God personally? And does God know you personally? Can He call you, or like His friend? You hear in Isaiah 41, verse 8, He called Abraham His friend. Is that the kind of person you are with God? Can God call you His friend? Can you call God your friend? Abraham, my friend, can He put your name in there? Do you know God as a God you can trust in the future, in the new year? God is trustworthy. He made us. He knows how we are. He knows what we're made of. That verse that I read, what psalm was that now? He knoweth our frame. He remembers that we're dust. You know, it's kind of like, so God made us. It's kind of like somebody that makes, I don't know, you name it, a piece of machinery, a vehicle, whatever it is, builds a house. That builder, that maker, he knows there's a couple of flaws under the metal or in the wall or somewhere. There's a couple little flaws nobody will see. They're all covered up. But He knows those flaws are there. And that's how it is with God. He built us. He made us. He created us. He knows those things about us. And I believe it's Psalm 139. It tells us that He knows the thoughts of our mind. He knows them even before they get to us. What those thoughts are going to be before they come to our mind. He knows us better than we do ourselves, really. And you know, He knows. Our God knows what we're going through. And He's faithful, it says in 1 Corinthians 10. I believe it's verse 13, he won't suffer us to be tempted above that we're able. But He'll, with that temptation, make a way to escape. He tempers those things that come our way. Another thing about trusting in God is that trust and obedience go hand in hand. They're like sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. Trust and obedience. You know, if I was thinking about that, you know, if I ask one of you, I should pick on somebody I know. Maybe I'll pick on Jake. If I ask Jake, how do you build a shed? I know he has had some shed building experience, you know. How do you build a shed? And he gives me detailed instructions how to do that. and I go to do that, but I don't follow those instructions. I do it my own way. You know, Jake is going to be thinking, well, he doesn't really trust me. He did it his own way. He didn't do it how I said. Now, I realize that illustration can break down a little bit because there is more than, in life, there's some things that there's more than one right way to do, okay? But you know, that's how it is with God. A lot that, it is that way. You know, if God tells us in His Word what to do, if we trust God, we need to follow that. If we instead craft our own way, if I just do my own thing, disregard God's direction, what God has, the direction God's given me, you know, it becomes evident in my life that I actually do not trust God. I don't have faith in what He says. We have those familiar verses in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. You know, you can't have both. You're either going to lean on God or you're going to lean on your own understanding. But it seems like many people want to claim. They want to claim the trust, but they want to lean. They want to lean their own way. They want to live life their own way. It's not compatible. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trusting God means I take God at His word. I believe what He says. When His word gives me direction on how to build my life, I show my trust in God by following the blueprint and doing what it says. Trusting God also means that I accept that God is sovereign. Sovereign. I had to just quickly look that up in the dictionary to refresh my mind. I thought I knew, but how to put it in words, I wasn't sure. It means a supreme ruler. The ultimate power. That's God. He's ruler of all. He's the ultimate power. He doesn't answer to anyone. He's over all. And His word is the last word on everything. We get a little prickly about that when we think about that and in regards to earthly people. Earthly rulers. There's some rulers probably that come to your mind that have ruled like that. Like they answer to no one. And their word is everything. It makes us as free, independent thinking people, we chafe. We chafe at that. And I believe rightfully so. I believe God didn't plan for any earthly ruler to rule that way. I don't believe God planned for man to any ruler to be under Him, to be like that, as a supreme ruler. But you know, we need to be okay with God like that. We need to be okay with God as supreme. That God's word's the last word. And that I answer to Him. I answer to Him and everyone else answers to Him. And I believe that's what it speaks of there. God is as supreme. God is sovereign. There in those verses that we read here in Matthew 6, you know, He says here, putting in my own words, there's some of those very basic things of life that you and that I, we didn't get to decide. We didn't get to decide how short or how tall we are. We didn't get to decide the color of our hair, whether it's black or brown or yellow or whatever other color. We didn't get to decide that. God chose that for us. And you know, people spend a lot of time worrying and fussing about some of those things. Oh, why am I so tall? Why am I so short? Why do I have freckles on my face? Whatever. Things that people worry about. we didn't have any say in some of those very basic things of who we are, how we look, and so on, how we are as a person. God decided those things for us. He's sovereign. And Jesus says there, here in Matthew 6, he says, you can't change by taking thought. You can't change how tall you are. Can't do a thing about it. And he says, if you can't change that, those things, if by worrying, putting in my own words, you can't change any of those things, why are you going to worry about all these other things? God is sovereign. And you know, the sooner that you and I give that place to God, which, by the way, He has that place whether we acknowledge it or not, the sooner we acknowledge it, though, the happier we will be. We can trust a sovereign God. He has control over my life, over yours, and He will allow what He sees best for our life. That's trusting God. In closing here, trusting God in the new year, there's many thoughts that we probably didn't touch on at all. In Exodus 15, there were some verses I thought of there. We won't turn there. We have God talking with Moses there. And I don't, maybe we should turn there. I don't think we will take the time, though. God's talking to Moses, and I don't understand all what's happening. I don't know if God was just testing Moses. It was right after the children of Israel failed. They offered that calf. Aaron made them that calf. And many people were killed, lost their lives, were punished for that. God was angry with them for that, worshiping the calf instead of Him. And I don't know if God was just testing Moses or what was all happening there, but He says there, if you look at some of those verses, that I'm not going to go with you. My presence won't go with you. I'll send an angel. You go. They were still there at Sinai. You go the rest of the trip to Canaan. I'll send an angel. And I forget all the wording now, but God essentially said He won't go. And we have there in verse 15, you could turn to it if you care to, but I'll just refer to it. Moses saying, I think we're somewhat familiar with those words. He says, if your presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Don't even bother. We're not even going to bother taking a step. God, if you're not going to be with us. Moses was afraid about taking a step forward without God. It reminded me of a little happening the other day at home there. We had some stuff we were going to take to the attic. We were taking to the attic. A couple of pieces there, a couple of armloads of stuff. And so we wound up, me and Preston and Brooklyn, she was tagging along, went up to the attic there, and we have a pretty, I don't know, some of you probably know what our attic is like there. It's pretty nice. Nice big attic. We have nice lights in there. There's a nice big wide steps that goes up there. I think it's very great. Nice place to store stuff. And so we took a load of stuff up there and turned around to go back down, and I think maybe I made a step or two down the stairs. Brooklyn was at the top of the stairs there, and all of a sudden, I saw the most paranoid look come across her face, like, no, I'm not going to be left in the attic. And I think our attic is nice. It's all lit, and there's nothing scary about it in my mind. But she was paranoid. I saw a very fearful look, and I think there was a scream that went along with it. She was paranoid of being left. It was just in the next room down, being left there in the attic as we went for more stuff. But you know, as I held her hand or carried her down the stairs, we went back, we did that a couple times. She was just fine with walking along, holding my hand, everything's good as long as Dad's right here. That's the little picture I want to leave with us as we think about as how we should be as we step into a new year. Can we say that we'd be paranoid to go one step into the new year, or anywhere into the future for that matter, once go one step without God? But you know, if we have God with us, if God is holding our hand as a Heavenly Father, holding our hand as a child, as His child, you know, we don't need to be afraid. We can face what we're going to, the scary addicts or whatever we're going to go through this year. We can go through them if we have God with us. God bless you as you consider this and as God willing, we enter a new year. Let's pray.